Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Good? Okay. Did anyone watch the Euro Cup yesterday evening? Yeah? All of you? Great. Well, I was there too, and with all the excitement of the game, I felt like I almost lost my voice, and I just in case, as a backup, I brought the recording of my Tech Ed talk over in Tech Ed North America, just to make sure in case my voice just didn't work this morning. But here I am. My voice is working, so... My name is Chandrika Shankaranarayan, and I'm a program manager lead on the Windows Azure team. Specifically, I work on Windows Azure management and monitoring areas. So let's get started. The agenda for today is mostly, how many of you folks, by the way, have attended at least 50% of the Windows Azure sessions? Show of hands. Most of you. Okay, so you've been at Scott's keynote. You've also seen some of the other sessions as well. So I'll spend very little time up front talking about some of the basics of Windows Azure and then dive straight into some of the management capabilities and specifically focus on monitoring. So I'll start by talking about Windows Azure management a little bit, spend some time talking about deploying applications from your favorite IDE to Windows Azure, and talk specifically focus on setting up your application for monitoring. And then I'll jump into Windows Azure Monitoring itself, talk a little bit about the principles behind Windows Azure Monitoring, the scenarios we support, very briefly about the architecture and the features we support today. You've already seen the preview that's come out a couple weeks ago. And then I'll talk through the tools. I'll walk through a lot of the features that we have in Windows Azure, for Windows Azure Monitoring in the management portal and some of the other third-party tools as well. So I don't want to spend too much time on this. You've seen Scott present the slide a few times. You've seen probably other presenters present as well. Just as a context setting, Windows Azure obviously has pioneered platform as a service and has provided a slew of managed scalable services. And 2 weeks ago, we added another set of rich set of services to the platform. So infrastructure as a service was introduced a couple weeks ago that allows users to manage Windows as well as Linux virtual machines running in Windows Azure. We also introduced Windows Azure Networking that allows you to manage your VPN as well as to connect to on-premise IT infrastructure as well. Hopefully you've attended the bulk of the sessions on Windows Azure Networking. We also introduced Windows Azure Websites that allow you to manage your web applications, whether they're .NET applications or non-.NET applications, to be able to deploy them to Windows Azure and manage them in Windows Azure. So we provide shared infrastructure for managing web services, for running web service, web applications, as well as dedicated virtual machines for running and managing your web applications. So we provided sort of a variety of operating systems, multiple language support, and we provided an SDK that's available on GitHub in under open source license. So you can now combine your the best of breed Microsoft technologies with your open source technologies that you're already using to run on Windows Azure, to manage on Windows Azure, and to build rich applications that suit your organizational needs. So what does it mean to manage these disparate set of services or heterogeneous set of services on Windows Azure? What we provide is a unified management API, REST management API, that acts as a proxy to all of the resources underneath the covers that allow management on Windows Azure. Whether you're using Windows, Mac, or Linux, you can talk through these unified REST management APIs and get very rich management and monitoring capabilities across all of these disparate services. And we have support through the Windows Azure Management Portal. You've hopefully seen some of the demos, but I'll spend a bulk of my time also showing the Windows Azure Management Portal, specifically focused on monitoring. Also, command line tools and scripting, PowerShell scripting as well, that operates over the same unified REST management API. So you get all of the goodness, whether you come from the management portal, whether you come through PowerShell or CLIs, or third-party tools as well that can be built on top of the management platform. So the management portal itself, the UX framework, the framework for the user experience itself is extensible. So if you are a third party that wants to build on top of it and leverage all of the management goodness, you can do that as well. So without further ado, let me switch over and go through the management experience itself a little bit. Okay, here it is. Got confused with the screen. So you've seen the management portal here. Here is a view of all of the services you have running in Windows Azure. So you might be a customer that might have a slew of web applications that use database in the back end. You might use storage for some reason for storing some back end data. You might be using cloud services in addition to run some code on a web role or a worker. So a heterogeneous list of resources or services can all be managed pretty much through the same lens in a consistent manner through the management portal. So I have websites, virtual machines. I have a slew of services that I've deployed intentionally for the purposes of this demo. So there is a create experience that allows me to create any of these services in exactly the same way. So for a website, I have an option to do a quick create that allows me to quickly create a website with the least amount of configuration. And I can, however, if I'm an advanced user and I know exactly what I'm doing and I don't mind going through the additional configuration steps, we have the ability to create a website with a database or a website from a gallery of templates that I can quickly create my website from. You'll see the same paradigm flow through when I'm creating a virtual machine. I have the ability to quickly create a virtual machine, or I can create a virtual machine from a gallery of virtual machine templates. Cloud services follow the same paradigm. I can quickly create a cloud service or custom create it, in which case I'm bringing in a package. I'm uploading a CSPKG as well. SQL databases have the same paradigm. So you see the flow. Essentially, we're using a consistent user paradigm to manage all of your services. Now, if I drill into any of these services, I should be able to see the same set of navigation patterns, the same set of commanding that applies to one resource that flows through other resources as well. Of course, a given resource obviously is backed by its own runtime, and therefore you'll see some specific commands, some specific flows, workflows that are specific to that resource. Now, let me switch over to Visual Studio and show you an application. I have an attendee web application that I've built that simply exists to manage Microsoft TechEd attendees. So Microsoft TechEd attendees can come in and say, I am so-and-so, and I've registered for the conference. And all I want to get is a count of the number of Microsoft attendees that are there. So I have a web front end. I have a simple business layer that does some processing, and I have a back end that stores the data. So what I've done here is, in my webroll.cs, you'll notice the first thing I've done is I have set up the configuration for my attendee web application by setting up a couple of custom perf counters, and I've configured Windows Azure Diagnostics to collect these custom perf counters. The first one here is homepage visits per second. I want to see how many people have gone to the first page and clicked on it, how many of my Microsoft TechEd attendees have gone to the first page so I can track how many people have come in. The second perf counter I want is attendee details visits per second, which is the page that the drill down that gives them to the ability to register through this application. So I've captured both of these in my webroll.cs. Now if I go to home controller code, I will see in my code that I have code to emit this custom perf counter, homepage visits per second. If I go to this guy, I have attendee details visits per second. So in my code, I have written code to emit these custom perf counters. These are not out-of-the-box perf counters, by the way. The next thing is if I go to my web config, notice that I have configured the system.diagnostics trace listener. Those of you that are using cloud application template in Visual Studio, you're familiar with this paradigm. We already put this section in web.config for you. If you're not using Cloud Services Project, and if you're using some other project within Visual Studio, you can simply copy-paste this in web.config, and you're good to go. So this is simply exists to configure your trace listener. Now, after having done that, I want to bring up my attendee web role configuration. What I need to do here is today in Visual Studio, I have to enable diagnostics, and I have to specify the storage account credentials I want to push diagnostics logs into. So this has been pre-configured just to show you guys where I got this information from. Here's my storage account name and my storage key. So if I go over to the management portal and go to my storage account, and if I look at Windows TechEd Diag Storage, and go to the configure page, go back to the dashboard, and go to manage keys. There is my primary access key for my storage account. This is where I got this data from. I just copied it and pasted it in Visual Studio. How many of you folks use the Silverlight Dev Portal, Azure Dev Portal? Show of hands, 1, 2, 3, 4. a small number of people. So you can get this data from the Civilite portal as well. We've also enabled it in the new portal for you to easily, quickly access the account key, the account name and the account key. So now that I've done this configuration, I'm all set for the diagnostics configuration. One other thing that you have to do today in Visual Studio is when I package my application, I need to enable remote desktop if I want to be able to remote desktop into a given role in my application. So I have set up the certificate, the username, password, and the expiration date for the certificate in order to remote desktop into it. Now, of course, this is painful. Imagine that you are troubleshooting your application in production and you forgot to do this configuration ahead of time. You don't have the ability to remote into this instance to troubleshoot what's going on. Obviously, this is not a good user experience. We're looking to enhance this by allowing you at runtime to configure remote desktop such that you don't have to stop your application or redeploy your application after redoing the configuration so that you can quickly troubleshoot the hotspots in your application. But today, this is the way we do that. So this has been configured. Now we're mostly set. If I go back to my CSDev file, another show of hands quickly, how many of you folks use cloud services today to deploy to Azure? Web role, worker role? Just a handful. So you know what CSPKG is, what CSDef and CSCFG are. CS definition essentially is the service definition of your application that contains information like configuration of the configuring diagnostics, configuring remote access, etc. CSCFG, on the other hand, is equivalent of web config, allows you to, at runtime, apply configuration changes. CSDef, of course, changes require you to redeploy the application. So in this case, I'm being careful. I want to make sure both of my roles are configured for diagnostics and remote access. Because I did the configuration already, this information already exists in my CSDef. If I go back to CSCFG, you'll notice that I have the diagnostics connection string and the remote access enablement for both of my roles already done. So this app is ready to go. There's a lot of work that we had to do here. We had to keep in mind in order to instrument this application, but it's been done now. So I can go ahead and now publish this package to Azure. So I'm going to go ahead and go back and actually change the name of this application and call it Attendee Tech Ed, if I can type, app. And I'll choose a region to deploy it to. Let me just choose West US for now. Say OK. Go back to the next step. I have made a change to the target profile. I am deploying this. Let me go back here. Let me deploy this to production instead of staging. My app is ready to be published. So I can go ahead and publish it. And publish has started, as you can see at the bottom of this window. This is going to take a while because we're actually configuring the roles. We're actually warming up the VMs, initializing the VMs, starting the VMs up, and deploying the package, analyzing the package, deploying it to production. So this is going to take a little bit of time. In the meantime, I'm going to take you guys back to the management portal. While we're going through this, hopefully you'll see the app deployed in the process. Let's go back to cloud services. You'll see the app coming up here in just a few minutes as the app is starting to get initialized. But in the meantime, I'm going to take you to an existing application that's already been deployed to Azure. And this is the exact same replica of the application that I just deployed. So let me go back to this guy. This application is running in staging right now. As you can see, I have a bunch of monitoring metrics that I'm getting out of the box. So these are not custom perf counters. These are out of the box perf counters that I'm getting. Things like CPU percentage, memory available, etc. I'll talk through them in a little bit more detail in the second half of the demo. And I have usage information for this application, number of cores I've used. I've only used two cores. I have one web and one worker role, so I have two cores that I'm using. I have additional information about the application itself, like the status is running. I have the site URL if I want to hit it. I have information about the deployment ID, deployment name, subscription, etc. Now, linked resources is something that I'll touch again when we talk about websites. I'll come back to it. Let's go back and see if there you go. We have the new app that I just deployed, Attendee TechEd app. It's been created, which means the DNS name for this application exists, but you have nothing deployed. As you can see, the deployment is in progress. Now, while the deployment is in progress, I can switch to certificates Notice that I brought in a certificate. I configured and set up the certificate already. That's already been created. So it's in the process of getting deployed and created. I can go to the Configure tab for this application that's just being deployed to production slot. And I can notice that I have the diagnostics connection string configured. That's showing up here in my Configure tab. Obviously, I can't edit it because the deployment operation is still in progress. I can go to Scale tab similarly. Let's go back here just a sec. Ouch. The mouse is getting a little sticky. All right, there we go. Let me go back to the app that is, this is in an intermediate state, by the way. The stop doesn't mean that the application is stopped. It's actually in the process of getting deployed. You'll see a stage later on where it's hopefully running. Let me go back to the running application right now. This application is running in staging. I wanted to show you the Configure tab here. Notice that this has the exact same configuration setting. It has the same connection, diagnostics connection string. If I go to the Scale page for this application, I can now scale the, this app is running obviously, so I can scale the roles that I'm running, which is an attendee web role running in a small VM and an attendee processor, process worker that's running in a small VM. I can change the scale for this if I wanted to scale my application, and I can save those changes. In this case, I'm not going to do that, so no changes will be made. Let's go back to the instances. So I have one web instance and one worker instance. Given that this application is running and it's been configured for remote desktop, I can connect to this application. So it'll open up my remote desktop session for this. Hopefully I'll remember the password. Let's see here. So I'm connecting to this session. Clearly the password wasn't right. Should not have stayed late last night. I forgot my password. There you go. That's done. So I accept this. And I'm configuring my remote session at this point. It should come up any minute now. If I wanted to troubleshoot hotspots in my role that I'm running, this is the quickest way to remote into it, troubleshoot it, and I'm done. So I'm going to close this guy. Back to the application. And let's go back to the dashboard. The dashboard allows me to gives me a quick view of all of the metrics that I have, including the perf counter metrics, my custom perf counters if I have any, usage overview of the application itself, and if I had any linked resources, as in if I had a database that the application was using or a storage account that the application was using, I will be able to see all of the linked resources in the list. In addition, I will be able to have aggregated view of usage of my core resource, core service, as well as the linked services as well. I'll be able to see metrics that are aggregated as well, both for my core service or the code that's running, as well as the linked resource too. Now, one thing I want to point out is this application is running in staging. I can swap this application to run in production. If I were in the process of testing the application in the staging environment, the application is ready to go, I want to swap it to production, sort of supporting those of you that have worked on cloud services know that this is one way for you to have a staging environment to test your application and push it to production when you're done testing the application. So this is a simple swap of the VIP from the staging to production. So I can do this via the UI, or I can do this through PowerShell commandlets as well. So let me go ahead and try to do this through the PowerShell commandlet. Let me switch over. Let me close this guy and bring up another one. I need to do a very quick set up here, which will take me 1 second. I need to set up the certs. Oops, that's not what I meant to do. Copy this guy over. Hopefully most of these things are, when you're doing it in your production environment, most of these things are automated. You shouldn't have to do this every single time for every deployment. So let's go ahead and do this as well. I'm essentially setting up the certificates, setting up my subscription appropriately so I can do the right thing. So this is all done. So let me see if I can try doing this. So I'll say get deployment. And the name of the deployment, if I go back to my application, it's called Attendee Management App. Copy that guy. Oops, wrong window. So dash Attendee Management App. And I want to go from staging to production. So I'm just piping two PowerShell commandlets here. There seems to be some setup that I didn't do here that's not working. Let's actually go back to the portal. Let's see if swapping works from here. Let me say I want to go swap this from staging to production. Let's say yes. Notice that this is actually quick. You'll be surprised how quick it is to move from staging to production. This is already transitioned, as you can see. I no longer have the application in staging. It's moved to production. If I go to production, it says that the application is transitioning. The deployment is in progress. Within a few seconds here, I should be able to get this. Let me switch back. It's in the transitioning state. It's in the process of moving from staging to production. So while it's doing that, let me switch to websites. Go ahead. Correct. So today we don't have, other than support for setting up co-admins in the portal, we don't have a way of doing role-based access. We're working on it. That's actually coming up. The moment we have role-based access, you'll have rich granularity of giving access to people to do specific management operations. So yeah, we'll be supporting that very soon. We've heard this a lot from customers. People have to be restricted to either view monitoring data, do certain management operations, restrict certain management operations across different parts of the organization. So this is something that we are working on. So going back to websites, I'm going to go ahead and create a new website here. And this time I'm going to create it from Gallery. So the Gallery has a set of website templates to get you started very quickly. So let me go ahead and choose WordPress. This is a blog template. So I'm going to go ahead and create one. I'm going to call this TechEd Blog 001 to be more crisp. And this template happens to require a MySQL database. We have support for MySQL provisioning through the management portal as well. So I'm creating a new MySQL database. I have a region that I'm creating this in, East US. So next step, the database name is automatically created for me. And notice that the database is put in the same region as the website, co-located in the same region as the website to help with latency, performance issues, et cetera. Most of the time, you probably want your database to be co-located with your primary resource. So I did that, and I agreed to this terms of conditions, and I'm ready to go. What's happening in the background right now is we are provisioning a DNS slot for the website. We are deploying the code as well to the slot that we just created. We also realized that the website is talking to a database because that was in my parameters XML file. So we're provisioning a MySQL database. Additionally, we're linking that MySQL database to the website. We have a semantic link, which means we're taking the connection string from the parameters XML file and we're pushing it to the web config file. So you have a semantic link established between the website and the database. Anytime now in the future, if you want to delete the database, we warn you and tell you, hey, you have a linked resource. Your website happens to be using this database. You probably want to be careful whether you want to delete the database or not. So that's the advantage of having semantic linking. And I'll talk right after this demo a little bit about the architecture and how we're actually doing that. So within a few seconds, notice that my TechEd Blog 001 application has been deployed. It's running. I can hit the application right now, go to the dashboard page. There are no metrics right now because the application has not been hit. I have some usage data for this website. I have file system storage, CPU time, data in, data out. And I talked about the linked resources earlier. So I have a linked resource that I brought in, MySQL database that was provisioned and linked to my website, and that shows up here as well. There's a set of properties I can look at as well. So if I, let me just quickly click here and show you that this is the connection string that was copied over to the webconfig file for the website when I did the linking. There are several ways to publish the website, as you may know. One way to do it is we have the notion of a publish profile that actually contains the information about the website, the subscription information, as well as the database connection string information. Now, that publish profile can be taken as is You can go to your favorite IDE, like Visual Studio or WebMatrix or whichever other tool you're using, and copy that publish settings file over and publish that application to Azure. On the other hand, if you're using a source control repository like Git or TFS, is there anyone in the room that uses Git here? No one. TFS? Okay, there are several of you that use TFS. There was a session, I think it was yesterday or day before, about the deployment options, and they talked, hopefully, in detail about TFS publishing as well. I think there was a TFS session, too, earlier in the week. So if you're using TFS, you can publish directly from TFS and do all of your the management of your deployments. You go back, roll back to a previous deployment, go forward to the next deployment, et cetera. All of that is supported directly from the portal itself. Additionally, actually, before I go there, let me show you a few things here. If I go to the configure page for the website, I have diagnostics for the website. Right now, it's turned off. Let me go ahead and turn on each of these diagnostics: web server logging, detailed error messages, and failed request logging. I'm going to go save this because this is required for a future demo that I'm going to do in the second half. So let me just dismiss this. Oh, that's fine. So I've now saved this configuration. You notice that in the cloud services scale page, there was an ability to change the instance of each of the roles. We have a similar concept for websites. Now, my website, when I create it out of the box, is created as a shared website, which means I'm sharing the VM with multiple other websites. And, however, I have the ability to change the instance count if I want to, and you can scale from 1 to 3. Now, if I wanted to instead move to a reserved mode, which is I have a dedicated VM to run my website, one or more of my websites, I can do that. And one thing to note is that you have to remove your spending limit, so moving to reserved costs you money. However, when I move to reserved, I can customize the instance size from small to medium to large, the number of cores I want to use. I can also change the instance count as well. And that, again, goes from 1 to 3, and I can persist those changes. In this case, I'm not going to do that. If I go to linked resources, notice that the MySQL database that I brought in is shown as a linked resource here. We will eventually have full management of MySQL database right here in this portal as well. So if I go back to the dashboard, I've configured my diagnostics connection string, so I'm good to go for, let me go ahead and simply hit the website so that I can generate some metrics as well. So this is simply a WordPress application, as you can see. I've used the WordPress template, so I'm going to hit it a few times so I can, when I come back to this portal, I can generate some metrics as well. So a few of these, and we should be good to go in a few minutes. You'll see some metrics show up in a few minutes. So let's come back to this in just a bit. If I go back now to my cloud services, this one is still in transitioning. Looks like it's in trouble. So let's switch back at this point to the slides. So what you just saw was this architecture in the works. So essentially, the unified management portal is in itself, the framework in itself is extensible. We've built a few of these extensions, a website extension for managing your websites, a cloud services extension to manage your cloud service. You can also imagine that if you're a third party and you want to plug in your own extension into our user experience, you can do so. All of this is also accessible through PowerShell or scripting because everything goes against the same unified management API. Third-party tools can sit on top of the same unified management API as well. So the unified management API simply acts as a proxy and does a bunch of batching and security for all of the resources that we manage. Now, every one of the individual resources or services themselves control the management operations that are performed on that resource. For example, a website or cloud service or IaaS, et cetera, have their own resource provider. Again, this is a pluggable model. This is extensible. A third party could come in and create their own resource provider and expose a bunch of management functionality that we then expose through the unified management proxy that is then exposed through any one of either UI or scripting, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the application manager component in the middle there, that's the one that allows you to compose applications and manage the lifecycle of your composed application. In the example that I just showed you with website plus MySQL database, we were able to link the database with the website and manage the semantic link for the lifecycle of that website. The application manager also does another thing, which is managing two resources as a management group. A lot of our customers, and you guys should tell me if I'm wrong, a lot of our customers also want the ability to aggregate their usage information across more than one resource, their monitoring information across more than one resource, their billing information across more than one resource. If you wanted to do that, you could simply create a management group. You didn't want potentially semantic linking across those resources. We're still able to aggregate that information and show that to you in the dashboard, in the monitor page, et cetera. Obviously, this is just a preview release, though we're doing a lot more in the next few releases to enhance this, this infrastructure. Now, we want to do a similar thing with billing. The monitoring capability, essentially, I'll talk a little bit more about it, is we provide a thin shim that does aggregation across resource, a thin service, if you will, that does aggregation across all of the resources and provides you that rich monitoring. We'll talk about it a bit more in just a bit. The marketplace component is what allows each of these resources to expose their own customized templates, if you will, in a marketplace-like experience. For example, website, we just saw an example of a website gallery or a web app gallery, which exposes a bunch of templates for you to easily get started on. IaaS, the virtual machine experience, also exposes a bunch of templates, the Linux templates, an open source templates, as well as Windows templates as well, Windows Server, Windows 8, et cetera. If you actually play with the portal, you'll be able to see the different templates there as well. So we expect that not only Microsoft, but also third-party components will want to expose themselves in the marketplace, in the Windows Azure marketplace, and we will be able to aggregate that information through the portal as well. Now let's switch to monitoring a little bit. Most of you are familiar with how things work on-premise, right? You're either working with a single server or a cluster of servers. It's a known environment. It's a well-known. You're dealing with either a well-known single or multiple instances, and all of your transactions, local transactions, are traceable. You have local access to most things. You can TS into the boxes. Your data and your tools are all available to you. They're co-located for the most part. You can make changes. Most of you have, some of you raised your hands for TFS. Most of you have source control mechanisms that you can use to do in-place updates, upgrade your applications, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these things are accessible to you in the same location usually. When we're talking cloud, however, we're dealing with the dynamic environment. You're dealing with multiple instances. You're dealing with elastic capacity. The workloads are distributed across multiple geos usually, and they're not locally accessible. You have many nodes to deal with. You don't have access to these nodes as quickly as you do on-prem. The data is distributed. It's scaled out. So you're dealing with more complexity when you're dealing with the cloud. So in terms of what are the key principles we're using for monitoring your applications on Windows Azure, the first key principle is we want to ensure availability and performance of all of your services running on Windows Azure. We want to provide that data to you through the APIs, through the UIs that we provide. We want to make sure we have zero configuration to enable monitoring out of the box, which means you deploy your application day zero, you have basic metrics working for you out of the box. The third thing is you need not learn new concepts when you're either configuring or using monitoring. We want to be able to provide a single pane of glass, if you will, and a consistent set of views and analytics available to you, whether you're dealing with websites, whether you're dealing with cloud services, you're dealing with databases or storage accounts. So in terms of scenarios we want to support, we want to provide you, as you saw, to some extent in the portal, a single pane of glass for all resources, all services. We want to provide things like availability metrics, health metrics, usage monitoring, user-defined metrics. I just pushed an application with two custom metrics there. We want to be able to allow you to define your storage accounts, define your retention policies, and be able to aggregate analytics. We want to be able to, today you can already access raw data, right? And you can do your own analytics over that for cloud services, for example. It's available through Windows Azure Diagnostics. For diagnostics, for error logs, we already have, hopefully you saw some examples when I was doing the demonstration, that we do provide notification and alerts as you're doing management operations. When errors occur, we also show alerts in the notification bar. The next step is to provide error logs, essentially diagnostics logs, that you've instrumented your applications to push. So I will demonstrate how we capture error logs, and we provide you access to access that the logs as well. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah, I'll show you a demo of System Center as well if my demo works. But there is a SCOM agent for Azure that System Center has, and it supports cloud services only today. So you can look at cloud services, you can look at metrics for cloud services, perf counters, custom perf counters, et cetera, today. Yeah, I'll show that later in the demo. So there are multiple sources of monitoring data. For website, all of that monitoring and diagnostics information comes from IaaS logs. So we retrieve all of that website metrics from IaaS logs today. The website metrics are available by default. Again, zero configuration. You don't have to do anything to get these metrics. We saw on the dashboard, but I'll show you again, CPU time, bytes received, et cetera. You can enable diagnostics logs from various heterogeneous sources. Today, you can already do through IaaS logs, failed request logs, detail error messages. I had a customer yesterday that was asking me at the booth that they already have a slew of very sizable chunk of IaaS logs on their on-prem web applications. Can they migrate that over to Windows Azure? It's super easy. You don't have to do anything. If you have file-based logs, there's nothing you need to do to port over your websites into Windows Azure. We just show you the log files. You can access them through FTP today. In the future, we will have access to through HTTP as well as through the portal. And for cloud services, those of you that have used cloud services are hopefully aware of Windows Azure Diagnostics, which allows you to do data collection and data storage and reporting of that data. The good news here is that there's a slew of sources, data sources, that is available to you. Things like event logs, trace logs, perf counters, custom perf counters, all of the IIS-related logs. The point is, it's up to you to choose what you want to collect and what you want to expose and when you want to collect and expose it. So there's a lot of data. It's cloud-friendly, which means you can access them, all of the role instance level metrics, centrally in one place. They're scalable and remotely configurable. We just showed the remote configuration of Windows Azure Diagnostics when I pushed the application from Visual Studio. A little bit about how monitoring works under the hood. So I showed you a component view of the portal and all of the components below it. So the portal sits on top of a REST interface, a unified REST interface. Now, the monitoring REST service is a very thin shim that sits right there to mostly proxy to the individual monitoring services, because we want to federate that to the individual resources themselves. They want to be able to push rich metrics, rich logs, through their own interfaces. So we pick that up, we aggregate that information, and for the most part, we have to normalize it in order to expose that through the UI. Sometimes we have to aggregate across resources as well, so we do aggregation across websites and databases, et cetera. So for website monitoring, we go to the website monitoring service. For cloud, we have cloud services and VM, we go to cloud and VM monitoring service. For storage, we go to storage analytics directly. And if a third party comes along, as you can see in the dot, dot, dot there, if a third party comes along, they can plug in their own monitoring service, and we simply pick up that. We act as a pipe to pick up those monitoring metrics and push it up to the user interface. There's a slew of tools, as you can see. And the first one, you saw the Windows Azure Management Portal itself. It's a one-stop shop and provides out-of-the-box monitoring information for you for all the resources in one place. Our goal is to provide consistent experience across all resources here, and we've hopefully achieved some of it in the preview release, and we will continue to do so post-preview as well. The second thing that I want to talk about, and I'll demo as well, is System Center Operations Manager, the SCOM agent. Now, the SCOM agent is available today only to support monitoring of cloud services. So what they do is they go to Windows Azure Diagnostics store, collect the monitoring data, and persist it in a local store. Those of you that have on-prem, and how many people use System Center today? Show of hands. Couple, two, three, four. Okay. So those of you that have on-prem investments and are using System Center already, this is a great idea for you, great solution for you, specifically for cloud services. What they do, what System Center does, is collects all that information, pushes it to a local store, and then allows you to do rich computation and filtering over that data. Obviously, there's a lag in the time that you retain that data, amount of real-time metrics you get as well. But that allows you to do rich computations and also set up rules, for example, for specific workloads. For SharePoint, you can set up specific rules to have SharePoint-specific metrics, et cetera. So that's the advantage of having all of that data locally. And then there are partner and third-party tools, and I'll show a couple of them during my demo as well. So there's the Storage Explorer, which was built by Nutasec, I believe, that allows you to do storage management. So if you can do configuration of your backend, which is where all of your monitoring data is stored. There are other ones like Cerberata, which allows you to do rich diagnostics capabilities. There are other ones like New Relic that do performance monitoring, transactional monitoring, et cetera, as well. So there are several partners that provide some of the same monitoring or rich monitoring over the same infrastructure, Azure infrastructure that we have. So with that, let me switch over to the demo. So we'll go back to this the website. If you recall, I created a TechEd blog 001, and I hit it a few times before I switched back to the slide. So I have a few metrics that are already here. I have CPU time, requests, data out, data in, HTTP server errors, etc. So if I go to the dashboard gives me an at-a-glance view. And then there is the monitor tab that gives me some detailed information about the metrics as well. So you see there's a list of metrics here, and I have those that I want to display on the graph selected. Now there's a feature called Add Metrics that allows me to add additional metrics to the chart. I may have, 100 perf counters that I want to display, including some custom perf counters that I brought in. So I can add some additional metrics. For example, I want to see HTTP 404 errors. So I'm going to go ahead and add that here. So I brought it in here. The thing that we're trying to do is not to clutter the graph, so we don't immediately put it on the graph for you. So it's up to you to select what specific metrics you want to display on the graph. So I can choose to display HTTP 404 errors. I am showing some 404 errors, which seems a little odd right now. There might be some bug in the background because I didn't actually run into any errors. But what we will do now is go back to the dashboard. Let's hit the website again. And I'm going to simulate an error here by calling it test. There you go. I have a, let me hit it again. Let me close this guy. Go back. Okay. I'm going to simulate some errors here. Okay, now let's go back to my website. So I have a few 404s that I just simulated. So it'll take a few minutes for the 404s to show up. If I go to the monitor page, I have a couple of 404 errors, but in a few minutes I will have the few more that I simulated as well. So you can see that I ran into an issue. I was able to surface that in my monitoring chart. And now if I want to look at what happened to my application, I can go ahead and look at the diagnostics logs. So I talked about the fact that you have access to the diagnostics logs. Today we provide you access for website logs through FTP, so you can go and look at detailed errors here. So I can go to the specific error, and this was the previous error that we just ran into, so there's an HTTP 404 that I ran into before, so I can diagnose and find out what's going on with the specific error that I ran into right here through the portal. So that's access to your diagnostics logs for Windows Azure websites specifically. Now let me switch over to talking about consistency of paradigms, et cetera. Let me go to storage account. And this time I'm just going to click on any one of these guys. So let's go to TechEd demo storage. So notice that there's a dashboard, just like you saw for the other resources. And on the monitoring chart, I'm saying that I have not enabled monitoring right now. For storage monitoring, you have to pay the price for adding monitoring. And therefore, we don't want to enable monitoring by default for you. It's your choice to enable monitoring. So if I go to configure page for storage, notice that I have monitoring for blobs, tables, and queues, and they're all turned off. So what I can do is I can move, if I want monitoring for any of these specific services, blob, table, or queue, I can change the monitoring setting from off to minimal. Minimal buys me all of the basic metrics for blobs, tables, and queues, requests, total requests, availability, etc. If I move it to verbose, I get operational level metrics, my blob gets, my blob puts, etc. So it's up to you to choose what level of monitoring you want. We will give you no monitoring by default because we know that you have to pay, and therefore it's your choice what level of monitoring you want to enable. Now retention, as far as retention is concerned, again, retention by default is zero, which means we're not retaining any data. You can choose to go with 1 to 365 days for retaining your data as well. So that's the configuration knob we give you here as well. And logging is similar. You can enable, by default, there's no, we don't give you logging. Again, you're having to pay the price if you enable logging. So you can give, you can add read requests, write requests, and delete requests for each of these services, blobs, tables, and queues, and you can add retention days for each of these diagnostics logs as well. So by default, it's off. It's your choice to enable the logging as well. The moment you enable it, you're starting to collect that data, and therefore you're paying for storage. Storage is pay as you go, as you guys know. So if I go to Tekka Diag storage, I think this one has some storage information. Yeah, there you go. So I have availability, success percentage, total requests, et cetera, that's been enabled for this particular storage account. So all of the information that you see here, storage, in fact, has a ton of other monitoring data. If those of you that use storage analytics probably already know, there's a slew of metrics that you can get. And therefore, you need to be careful what metric you want, what amount of metrics you want to flow into whichever tool it is that you're using to manage your storage account. Now I can switch back to virtual machines. So let's go to one of the virtual machines here. Notice that, again, it's the same paradigm. I can I get some monitoring metrics by default for virtual machines. The monitoring metrics for virtual machines are not in-VM monitoring metrics. So there is no agent running in the VM, and we don't have in-VM monitoring. We're getting host metrics by default. So you get things like CPU percentage, data in, data out. These are host-level metrics we're getting for virtual machines. We will, in the future, have in-guest monitoring as well for virtual machines. Now, if I switch over to cloud services, and let's go back to our favorite attendee management app. Oh, this has been transitioning still. Beautiful. So if I go to attendee TechEd app and look at the monitoring data for it, there you go. So there's some basic monitoring. I have CPU percentage, et cetera. If I go to the monitor tab, I should have the ability to add more metrics as well. Again, what we are doing is by default, let me actually show you in the configure tab. That's easier. There we go. So by default, you will get minimal monitoring. Again, this is coming from the host. Host-level monitoring, there's a bunch of metrics you get by default. Now, if I move to verbose, I get additional metrics from the guest, and I get things like memory and some web service metrics, as well as custom metrics. If you had custom metrics that you pushed through through your dev environment, you can get those when you turn on verbose monitoring as well. So I wonder if I can actually do that here. Let me see. So if I bring up add metrics, I can add additional metrics like disk read, disk write, data in, data out, et cetera, as well here. So let's not do that for now. Let's skip this. You get the idea. So let me see if I can simulate an error. I wasn't successful last time, but let's see if we can do that. Let's go back to the dashboard. Looks like our WIP swapped app is not quite healthy, but let's go back to one of these guys, actually. And let me hit this application. If we're not able to successfully do this, I can show you the other stuff regardless. So this is just a simulation of an error. I'm not able to hit the first page. This was done purposefully on the back end. I actually have simulated a SQL error. So in order to show this, how this works, let's actually go to Storage Explorer. Have any of you used third-party tools like this, Storage Explorer or Storage Explorer? Yes, okay. So you're familiar with it. So if I select the storage account I want to show here, I use the WAD controller, I'm using the specific you can see that I can see all of the configurations that I just did for this application that I just pushed from Visual Studio. Here's a set of perf counters that I just defined. This does include the custom perf counters as well. This is a textual XML view, as you can see. If I bring up, for example, the Windows Azure MMC, I can see, let me load the specific application. I can see some of the same configuration settings in a more of a visual view as well. So all of the configuration for my perf counters, for my IIS logs, et cetera, I can see through the MMC tool as well. So if I go to Attendee TechEd app, and I think it was deployed to production, if I'm not mistaken. And go to diagnostics for that. It'll load it in a few minutes. So there it is. So I can pick the TechEd Diag storage while it loads. Pick the specific, oh, something is up with this. That was TechEd Diag storage, it was. Right, there is, seems to be, let me see here. This guy is still transitioning. My fear is that I'm not going to be able to get the diagnostics information here since it's still in a transitioning state. But let's try nonetheless. No, let's wait for it to load. Oh, there you go. Tendi Web. And I can look at all instances here. And I can get all of the same configuration information that you saw in the Storage Explorer, only a visual version of it. So I have file-based logs, infrastructure logs, Windows Azure logs, event logs, and perf counters. So there are a lot of third-party tools like this that write on top of Windows Azure Diagnostics and retrieve some of the same data that you can get either via the management portal. Today, for lack of a better support for monitoring in the Windows Azure world, a lot of the third-party tools have come on board and written tooling on top of the basic Azure infrastructure that provides you the ability to configure these things, do diagnostics, etc. So since I actually simulated the error, let me actually go back to Storage Explorer. If I can find the mouse. The mouse has disappeared. Okay. Let's see if we can move through the mouse that I have on the laptop. There it is. Okay, let's go to table view. And let's find the WAD log table. This is probably, those of you that use Storage Explorer should be very, very familiar with the WAD logs table. And we'll run a query on this. And this should give me all of the diagnostics information in one place. As you can see, this is the error that I just simulated, I believe. 628 is today? No, that was yesterday. Okay, regardless, this is exactly when I was dry running the demo, I was able to simulate the same error, and I can get the diagnostics information for this error right here. Now, let's go back to a gentleman here was asking about System Center, so I want to spend just a few minutes talking about System Center. So let's launch the System Center console here. So here is System Center Operations Manager for those of you that use System Center on-prem and want to leverage the asset that you have on-prem to manage applications running in Azure. So here I'm going to go to Distributed Applications. And there's the application attendee management app that we were looking at earlier. There's also the TechEd demo app that I also published earlier. So I can look at, from here, I can open the diagram view for this application. Those of you that know System Center know that I can do this already through any SCOM agent, right? So I can drill in here to my app. Oops. Ah, that's probably because the application was in transitioning, and I'm not able to look at the roles because the roles are still transitioning. But if I were to see it, I should be able to drill into the individual roles and look at the role instances as well. So it gives me a topology of my application, if you will. So let me close this diagram view. This is a standard System Center console support that you have. Now I can go back and look at some of the perf counter metrics as well. So if I go to Windows Azure here, look at performance, and look at the role instance metrics. Let me select this. So if I'm not able to see metrics because the application isn't transitioning, but you can imagine that the metrics that you saw on the Windows Azure portal, those are the same metrics that you can display even in System Center as well. So in a healthy application, I should be able to look at the running metrics for this particular application as well. Oh, yeah, there it is. So I'm able to see some of the same metrics that I saw in the Windows Azure portal. So system, and the configuration of a SCOM agent is really simple. All you have to do is to go to the authoring tab, and that allows you to bring up the ability to create a management pack. So I can say add monitoring wizard, and that tells me how to build a Windows Azure SCOM pack. So that's as simple as that. Say no. Now let's switch back to the the slides. Almost out of time here. I wanted to summarize a few things that we saw today. We saw the integrated management portal that allows you, that gives you a single pane of glass to view, manage, and monitor all of the services that you have running in Windows Azure. The UI is an improved UI over the Silverlight portal. Hopefully those of you that have used the Silverlight portal understand the pain points you had in the Silverlight portal and hopefully appreciate the new HTML portal we have. It's scenario-based, which means if you're a new user and you're very new to using either Azure services themselves or using Management Console, we give you very simple defaults to get started very quickly. However, if you're an advanced user, we take you through the entire workflow and provide you advanced settings depending on what you're looking for configuration. We also have integrated developer experiences. So if you're coming from Visual Studio, we have a way to publish your application from within Visual Studio. If you're coming from WebMatrix, we have a way for you to publish from WebMatrix as well. On the other hand, if you're using open source technologies like Git as source control mechanisms, you can push from Git. If you're using FTP to push your application, you can push your web application through FTP. If you're using TFS, you can directly use TFS to push applications and manage your deployment lifecycle as well. As far as monitoring goes, we today in the portal that you see, in the preview portal that you see, we allow you to manage the application health through the dashboard page and the monitor page that you just saw. We allow you to customize them, add additional metrics, bring in custom metrics of your own, show aggregation across resources as well, and provide diagnostic support as well. So for the first pass in the preview release, we have limited diagnostics, but that's just the starting point to get to where we want to be. We want to provide diagnostics for cloud services, for storage, in addition to websites, and provide rich user interfaces, as well as provide you rich reports. So we've been asked this question several times. Can I generate my own reports, or can you provide me customized reports based on the raw data for monitoring metrics? And we will be able to do that as well. And to provide notifications and alerts. Another thing about tying your usage, your monitoring back to billing, and be able to aggregate that information, provide you a holistic view of what is it that's costing you to run your application on Azure. That's the kind of data we want to provide. That's where we're kind of going towards. And all of this is wrapped and sitting on top of a unified REST management API, so that provides a very nice extensibility story, both at the API level as well as the user experience level. You've probably already attended all of these sessions because they happened in the past few days. Hopefully, if you haven't, please look at the recordings of these sessions as well. So I'm here for questions if you have any. Yeah? Today, it's agentless monitoring. That is correct. We are looking to move to agent-based monitoring so that you can have rich metrics for both VMs and cloud services. That's probably going to come in a few months. It's not there yet. We're working on it, actually. Yeah. Actually, no. What they're doing right now with the SCOM agent is simply going to Windows Azure Diagnostic Storage, getting that raw data from there, storing it locally, doing a bunch of computations, and showing you that data. There is no outside-in, watching out from outside, et cetera. They're doing no such thing. However, they're moving in that direction. We will be able to do outside-in monitoring, transactional monitoring, performance monitoring, et cetera, and agent-based monitoring as well. So that's everything that's coming. Today, we don't have any of those. No, the management server itself does not collect any of this. It goes to Windows Azure Diagnostics, which is the agent, essentially, which has a monitoring agent running. In the case of cloud services, it has a I talked about guest monitoring for cloud services. It's essentially a monitoring agent that's running in the VM. So for cloud services, we're able to get things like memory and some of the custom metrics through that agent for monitoring agent that's running. It's not a separate agent. It's not a SCOM agent injected through and getting you VM metrics. It's the MA, which today exists. This is supported in Azure today. You get guest metrics through MA, through monitoring agent. And we get everything through Windows Azure Diagnostics today. That's the basic infrastructure that even System Center is using today. That makes sense? And so configuration is, all of the configuration is done for Windows Azure Diagnostics, not for a special agent. Make sense? Yeah. So alerting, which is the latter part of what you talked about, which is getting SMS messages or email alerts, et cetera, is not there yet. But we're working with System Center on an alerting infrastructure, so we can plug it into the portal that you were just seeing. So to get basic out-of-the-box perf counter metrics or custom metrics, the portal is the best place to get it. Alerting does not exist anywhere right now, but we're working on an alerting infrastructure. So that should come in the portal in a few months as well. So I would recommend using the portal for that. Monitoring for SQL Azure? Yes. Yeah, so correlation of errors and correlation of metrics, it's not there today. It's another thing that we are working on making happen as well. So today in the portal, in the preview portal, I don't know if you've played with the preview portal, we don't yet have metrics for SQL databases. That's something that we're working on, which will come very soon, actually within the next couple months. Now, the next step is correlation of linked resources. That's... No, you will get it just in one place in this portal, yeah. SQL, in fact, will move over to this portal. I mean, I know they have a Silvite portal today that does deeper database management, yes. All of that functionality will move over, and you'll have one place to do this all in, so you don't have to jump between portals and have different authentication mechanisms, et cetera. Yeah. So today, VipSwap, the application that's running in a given, today we only support the core Azure service model only supports two slots, right, production and staging. It isn't a true multi-environment, lifecycle mechanism. You don't have a test environment that you go from test to stage to prod, and do configuration that you can either carry from one environment to another or reconfigure when you move from one environment to another. We don't have that today. We don't have a true lifecycle management capability from an environment perspective today. That's something that will come as well. But the slot, the whip swap mechanism simply allows you to take what you have in staging, swap it. It's really a whip swap. That's all it is. So there is no explicit configuration that you will do. Whatever you have in staging likely moves over to production. But what you're asking for is a full environment lifecycle, which is not there today, and that's something we are painfully aware of, we will be working on. You would, yeah, exactly. Correct. You would have to redeploy essentially today. You would never do that. You would only have, well, if you have something in staging, it's in staging with the purpose to push to production, right? You would never have two applications, one the same application running in staging and production ever. Yeah. Yeah, and then that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. You would just, yeah. You would replace, essentially. Yeah, it's an update in some sense. Yeah. Exactly. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, the lifecycle management is something that's being worked on, but I don't see that happening in the next couple of months. It's a longer-term roadmap. the alerting mechanism for the whole monitoring infrastructure, support for diagnostics and alerting, that's something that we're working on very actively with system centers. So hopefully our goal is to get this out sooner than later. It's not, I mean, we have it in our control as opposed to the bigger roadmap. Anything else? Great. Thank you guys for coming. Hopefully this was useful.